Let me introduce you to James Walsh. He's a reporter who a couple of years ago went undercover in Miami. No, not to get to the bottom of the immigration story. No, not to get to the bottom of the drug story. But to go undercover as a union organizer in a casino in Miami. And he's written a book about that experience called Playing Against the House, The Dramatic World of an Undercover Union Organizer. And he's here today to talk about it. Hi, James. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me.
Why did you choose a casino in Miami, Florida?
Well, that wasn't really my decision. I got in touch with the union up in Boston, and they said there was a need in Miami, so I headed to Miami. And the casinos in the run-up to the legalization of slot machines had enlisted the union's help to gain some political capital. So there was an agreement between the union and the casino, which meant the casino was sort of next on the list of places to organize.
Wait a second. There was an agreement already in place between the casino and the union? Then why did a union organizer need to go in there?
Well, the casino was not organized. The agreement said, during the duration of this agreement, we will be hands-off and remain neutral should you try to unionize the casino.
Okay. What union are we talking about?
This is Unite Here, the hospitality union, one of the bigger hospitality unions in the country.
Okay. So you just got a job down there? What was your gig at the casino?
Well, I worked at two different casinos. The first casino, I was a waiter at a restaurant that closed, and then I kind of was folded into the buffet where I cleared plates, got, Arnold Palmer's, and got to know my coworkers.
Okay. So yeah. You had already talked to the union ahead of time, and was your plan really to go in there and organize a union, or to gather the story about what that would be like because you were writing a book? In other words, which came first?
Sure. The story was about organizing a union. So I definitely tried, in earnest to organize my coworkers. But I kind of had a secret, I had a secret in the casino about trying to organize a union. And then I had a secret, when I was meeting with the union, trying to write this story. The story was really at the beginning was about, underground union organizers, these young activists that I'd been meeting. So I wanted to learn what their life was like, but it took a turn to be more about my coworkers and kind of the challenges they face when they're trying to unionize.
You were like a double agent.
That's right.
So when you go in there, first of all, even though the unions and the casino had worked together to get this passed through the legislature in Tallahassee, the place didn't want to be unionized, right?
No, that is fair to say.
How do they make that clear to their employees? We don't want a union in here.
Well, the pretty standard operating procedure at these places, I found were kind of captive audience meetings where they'll discourage the employees from joining the union by saying, you're going to pay a lot in dues or unions aren't really necessary anymore. Sure, you're making near minimum wage, but, why would you ever want a union? They're going to drive a wedge between the work, the management and the employees. Now, at the other end of that spectrum, some employers will just go ahead and fire workers, which is against the law, but, there's still not much of a disincentive or an incentive to follow the letter of the law.
Whoa, let's stop right there. It's against the law, but that's not a disincentive?
The consequences of doing so don't necessarily outweigh the consequences of unionization. So in the casino, the second casino I worked at, we had a union leadership committee we put together with 15 workers, and 10 of the workers were fired in about 2 weeks. And that litigation, this was in late 2011, and that litigation is still ongoing right now.
Years later, these people are still suing the union to get what, their job back or pay or what?
Well, not suing the union.
They're suing the casino. I'm sorry.
The National Labor Relations Board brings charges against the casino. The judge ruled relatively quickly on the case, but there are just so many ways to put it off and delay the remedies. They were ordered to pay back pay and hire workers back, but years later, they still haven't fulfilled all of the remedies they were ordered.
All right, let's put the company aside for just a second, because you said that a big part of your story became the people who you were working with. So what was their reaction when you would bring this up?
Well, my job as an organizer on the inside was the same as an organizer's job on the outside, and that was to find leaders. I found one leader named Kalia, who is a buffet server, and she was, had a tough upbringing. Her mom was a heroin addict. She traveled around the country taking care of her brother, and people really respected her in the workplace, and she pushed back against management. And then I would watch her as we developed her, as a leader. She would agitate coworkers saying, hey, I heard the unionized casino down the street, they got a raise this year. When do you think we're going to get a raise? And watching her do that, I really kind of believed in this underground organizing method.
She was your Norma Ray.
That was the hope. There was actually one bartender who made a lot of Norma Ray references that we kind of had to tell her, cut it out, you're going to get yourself fired.
So what about some of the others that you talked with?
They were all a lot of, I think this is South Florida, but it might just be the country in general. A lot of my coworkers didn't know much about unions at all. Some asked me, one coworker asked me if we were already in a union. Another coworker asked if management would be organizing the union. So you've got kind of that end of the spectrum. And then I had another coworker who clearly knew a lot about unions. She knew that Florida was a right-to-work state whereby, we didn't have to pay dues, but we would still get all the benefits of a union. So she came up to me one day and just said, listen, the union is a good thing, but don't sign up, because we'll still get everything. So she was savvy, and I as much as I wanted to say that, went against everything I know about responsibility and citizenship, she you can't blame her when she's making near minimum wage. Those dues might have filled her tank of gas.
So she wanted a union there. She just didn't want to have to pay for it.
Yes.
How much better would union benefits be for the employees there?
In South Florida, in my experience there, it's interesting because the union members, made a little bit more, but not a lot more. Because first of all, the jobs you're comparing them to at non-union places, the best way to keep a union out is to, treat your employees well and mm-hmm. offer at least comparable benefits. So there's that. But the difference between, a union, a non-union casino in Florida and a union casino in Vegas, where so many workers are unionized, that's a big difference. So it's an incremental fight. It's a slow fight for the union there to kind of really be able to make a big difference.
I know immigration is a big story in Florida and in many other states. People try to make it a story here in the middle of the country, but it isn't nearly what it is in places like Florida, where you have people who are coming from all parts of the world, and you have a more multicultural environment there. I'm curious, when you dealt with other people who were immigrants or maybe children of immigrants, what their view of unions was.
Mm-hmm. Sure. In some of my research, I found that the union was in South Florida was a little slow to adapt to the changing demographics of South Florida. You can get Cuban workers kind of wary of anything that resembles communism, or Haitian workers who don't want to put a bullseye on their back. That being said, my Haitian coworkers were the strongest leaders we had. They, as one organizer said to me, you know, they fled some pretty messed up stuff in Haiti. They're not scared of the boss here. So the Haitian women, there, you know, majority of them were Haitian women, were the strongest leaders we had at the union.
When you were starting this, you talked about having contacted some union organizers in Boston who helped to start you on this mission. Did they give you training, teach you what you should say and what you shouldn't say and how you should handle things?
Yeah, they were really good with the hiring process. One organizer told me, said, you know, let's just play it by the Mad Men book, because these places love their Mad Men lifestyle, you know, in the hospitality industry. So they thought, for me that, you know, my hiring would be inevitable. I am, a white guy with a non-regional accent. So they figured I'd get in, and, you know, they had me shave, they had me put on a suit. You know, they trained me so that we did a lot of practice interviews. And they were right. You know, I applied to three different casinos we were targeting there, and at some one point or another, I got an interview and got hired at all three.
There's a lesson for you kids who want to be busboys. Put on a suit.
Well, I joke and say that it was, you know, they were better counselors than my college career counselors.
Did you ever face violence on the job?
No. I never, depends on how loosely you're using the word violence.
Well, I'm really asking about management coming and you trying to crack heads.
You know, no. Management doesn't necessarily need to crack heads when there's nothing really protecting the workers. They can simply fire. You know, the turnover rate is so high in the service industry that you can fire somebody for pretty much any reason, and that's what I found out. That was kind of the lesson that I learned during our unionization campaign.
All right, I don't want to give away the end of the story because I want people to read your book, Playing Against the House, and see what happened and whether the casino ever did get unionized and all the rest of the story. But I want to finish with one kind of overarching question here. Now that you've been on the inside of this fight, why do you think union membership in this country has dropped to probably a low of 7 or 8% now, lowest it's been in decades?
Yeah, well, that is a very complicated question, and that was the question I kind of went into this whole project trying to figure out. And what I found in my experience was that my coworkers kind of never really even had a chance to vote at the casino because we were so summarily fired, that left kind of a trail of people too scared to join the union. One organizer did an exercise that I will always remember with my coworkers. She said, she passed out sheets of paper and said, if the company did not oppose the union and said, we are just going to watch you do whatever you want, you can vote either way, how many of your coworkers would sign up for the union? And they went out around the room. It was 95%, 90%, you know, 92%. And the organizer asked, why, what about the, you know, that other 8%? And all of the workers said, because they were scared the company would be lying. I think it's about figuring out how to organize the service industry and these industries that are becoming so important to our economy now moving forward.
But do you think, when you think about it on a national basis, I mean, the fact that, again, we're down to 7 or 8% union membership. It used to be that one out of three American homes had union members in it. Here in the St. Louis area, where we used to make cars and trucks and minivans and had all sorts of manufacturing all over the place, plus, of course, a rather large brewery, these are all union places. Well, the cars and trucks and the plants are pretty much gone from here, and so we don't have nearly the union membership we did. But they're also seems to be a swell, if you will, a groundswell of anti-union behavior nationally, even on the part of workers who at one point would have been part of a union movement. Why is that, do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot of people working to make unions unpopular, but there's also a lot of people working to make it very hard to join a union. We are now, you know, with West Virginia coming up quick, we are soon to be a country that has more right-to-work states than not right-to-work states. And it's laws like that that kind of make union organizing really difficult. So, again, as I said, you know, the country's economy transitions away from manufacturing as it has throughout the years, and is increasingly dependent on a service economy, which is sort of a square peg in a round hole for unions organizing. Of course, you're not going to be able to generate the percentages that are in line with the economy.
Do you think also that we're a couple of generations removed from really the heart of the union movement in the 20s, 30s, 40s, even 50s in this country, and that we have people who are entering the economy now who have no idea what those battles were and what was fought on their behalf?
Sure. I mean, yeah, there's kind of a nostalgia to that union time. You know, I'm not a labor historian, but I imagine somebody working for $7.25 an hour is going to, no matter what their background is, they're from Haiti or from, you know, the Pennsylvania hills, is going to have the same sort of hopes and dreams. And I think that's kind of what's going to push the labor movement moving forward. I mean, I think it's a scary time for the labor movement. You know, it's at 11% nationally, you know, something like 6% in the private industry. It's definitely a scary moment. But if you met the kind of organizers I met, there would be room for hope.
The book is called Playing Against the House, The Dramatic World of an Undercover Union Organizer. James Walsh did it for 2 years inside casinos in Miami and writes about his experiences and, more importantly, about the people he encountered during those times. And I appreciate you coming on here and sharing part of the story, James.
Thanks so much, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.